Last week, I started with some breathing exercises, so I'd like you to breathe in and breathe out, breathe in and breathe out, breathe in and breathe out. And I noted at the time, those of you who might remember it, that I said that you have just taken part in a conspiracy. And I looked in two modern dictionaries, and the only conspiracy that they could define there was evil, hidden, in order to do something illegal, immoral, tear down the government, what have you. That was what conspiracy was. Finally, in the Oxford English Dictionary, I discovered, after all of the other definitions, that it comes from the Latin word meaning breathe with. And therefore, I built everything, as you recall, built everything from the idea of breathing together and discovering the conspiracy which God has in mind for us. Today's gospel, as a matter of fact, it begins with Ezekiel, is a day of parables. And Ezekiel uses this parable of the master taking the top, the very most beautiful part of the cedar tree, and planting it, and then from this lowly beginning, small beginning, grows this wonderful tree, and the gets so big that the birds can nest in it. Does that sound familiar? Is that what the mustard seed does too? It builds up a plant. So you see, Jesus was right in line with the prophets. It was a typical thing. But behind this, and to keep in your minds if it's too confused, is the fact that most parables were seditious. And they were seditious because if the truth were known of what the speaker, the prophet, or in the case of the gospel, Jesus, if they knew what he was really about, they would have occasion either to stone him to death for blasphemy or to turn him over to the Romans for sedition against the Roman Empire. And so it was very dangerous for people to understand this. And Isaiah didn't, the Lord in the vision of Isaiah didn't hold much hope for people understanding it. He kind of gave Isaiah responds to the call, here I am, Lord, send me. And then the Lord says, I will send you out of the world and have you preach. And you will preach and they will not hear. You will act and they will not understand. And he said, well, how long is this going to go on? And he said, forever and ever and ever and ever. You're for it. And so the same thing, kind of thing that we see in the parables. And the ones who, I guess traditionally in Jesus' time, who didn't understand the parables were the disciples. They were the ones, and you know, this passage ends up by saying, and to his disciples he explained it privately. And again, he's talking about something which in the first parable about the seed growing and taking and, you know, rising and falling, work and play and all this kind of thing over a long period of time. And you have a sense of God speaking in there and saying, don't rush things. It's all going to work out, but it just takes time. It's not going to happen right now. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's probably not going, it would fully happen in your lifetime. But it is going to happen because it's God's will, and God is the creator. But in proclaiming the kingdom, Jesus did not say the kingdom is off there, but said the kingdom is at hand. It's now. And he came to recognize in his ministry that the kingdom was present most powerfully within him. In his words, in his healing miracles, in all of the things that he did and said with his companionship with the disciples. It was just a marvelous thing that the kingdom, as they came to understand it, was happening in and through Jesus himself. But still, these parables needed to be told, needed to be said to the people so that they could begin or try to begin to understand what it was that God was calling them to do. One of the things that happened once the year 325 AD, if you'll cast your minds back, one of the things that happened there was the church became established. And it was a tremendous move for the church. But as we look, it seemed to be a move up. And behind it, however, it was a move down. Because that early enthusiasm, that sense of the Spirit moving within, the Pentecostal experience of the Spirit moving, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, has told me to heal the sick and then release the prisoners. That spirit was somehow codified, was made into a hierarchy, and much was lost. And in almost every age, there were those who refused to give into that hierarchy and not received the Spirit of God who was working within them. And there would be renewal movements throughout the church. Phyllis Tickle said, about every 500 years, there is a movement of renewal within the church. And they get back to the scriptures, but they also get back to the idea that each person is called to understand, to respond to the Spirit of God, that each one is, it's necessary for each one to take part in this. There's a good op-ed by David Brooks this weekend, Friday or Saturday. And he talks about personalism and or personhood. And I'm not sure which he used it. But anyway, his contrast is between the extreme to the left, the communist, in which the human being, the individual, has no part at all. It all belongs to the state. Or extreme individualism, in which the individual is not responsible to anything or anyone but himself. And he says the true life is in the beginning, in the middle, where a person comes to know his personhood, but he knows his personhood through other people. And he discovers through his relationship with other people who he really is, and also discovers how life is calling him. And then we would say here, how God is calling him, how God reveals to us our personhood, and along with that, the gifts of the Spirit. How many of us really try to understand what gifts we're given? And sometimes we are a little upset because certain gifts we'd like to have, we don't have. That's human nature. But in any case, all of us are called. All of us have been given the opportunity to know ourselves and to know God through one another. And this is the coming of the kingdom, and this is how the kingdom is present with us now and still coming ahead. Still, there will be the fulfillment, that which is talked about taking the sickle to the wheat. But right now, there still are the gifts of the Spirit, and part of our responsibility, not simply as individuals, but as a church, is to discover where the Spirit of God is leading us. What is God calling us to do? What can we do in this place? What's our responsibility to this island? What are the things that God offers us? Where do we see Jesus? Where do we hear Jesus? Where do we find the pressure of Jesus' presence right now? And if we do, what is it for? This is a very personal thing, and yet it's very much a communal calling that we have. One of the problems that we have, in a way, you know, one of the most serious issues that the church has faced, grant there are some political issues that are problems, But for most congregations, the most serious things are about their buildings. You know, do we paint this year? Do we take out the dry rot? Do we, you know, can we afford it? Can we do this, that, or the other thing? And so all of this, and it becomes the symbol of our faith is our church, our building. That's a lovely building. But then it's sometimes hard to stop and say, well, why are we here? What are we called to do? And this is the thing that Jesus was trying to get across to the disciples and to the people to whom he spoke, is that God is really calling you. God is really expecting you to respond to the things that are critical in your life, that are critical to your community. We're not even called to worship Jesus because Jesus didn't worship himself. Jesus spoke of my Father doing this, my Father saying this, my Father calling this, and you will receive the Spirit of my Father, which they did at Pentecost, and which we can continue to receive, that same Spirit. And so it requires a lot of thought, a lot of deep prayer to understand how it is that God is calling us, and not to be dissing the church, buildings, organization, authority, hierarchy, but always asking the question, what is it for, and what are we called to do, and how can we best understand the calling of God in the Spirit, respond to the presence of Christ within, and follow him. Amen.